Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and this is my house. This is my fireside. This is my dog, Otto, who is perhaps America's most famous dog at this point. And I've told you in the past, I'm going to say it low so he doesn't hear. It has not gone through his head. It's a big deal. We raise our dogs with a concept of humility. And it's worked so far with Otto. What cracks me up is when people meet me at airports and ask how he is. I have to admit, it's not what I expected in life. How is your bulldog? It's great, by the way. Don't hesitate to do so. It's just life is funny. And you have to laugh with these unexpected funnies. Anyway, this is a chance every week to just talk to you unscripted. As I always point out, I have papers for a reason. I'm going to be reading from a news item in my opening comments. So normally I open up with a concept, or an idea, a thought. I would say deliberate about it. Yeah, that's right. And then I take your questions. So it's a lot of fun for me and hopefully for you, but this is very good stuff. Incidentally, that reminds me to remind you, none of these are dated. If you watched one, this is, I don't know, episode like 80, is it? Is that right?
85.
Wow. That's a lot. And if you watch number 12, it'll be just as relevant. And I'll tell you, those of you who are parents, you show these fireside chats to your kids like you do the PragerU videos, it will have a big impact. It's certainly meant to have a big impact. And obviously, it's meant to have an impact on adults, too. I've never found it relevant to speak differently to young people than to old people. Never. And I started speaking in my 20s. I spoke the same to kids. That is my age group, as I did to people twice, three times my age. And right now, I speak to people a third my age, the same as I speak to people my age and for that matter, older. I don't understand why one wouldn't. If you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, then that's all that matters. Okay, anyway, so I got a very, very big topic that I want to talk to you about today. This was an article in MarketWatch on the internet very recently. And here it is. This is the headline. Young people blame climate change for their small 401k balances. That's savings account balances, essentially. Retirement plans and so on. Now, the first thing you could say is it's not really true. People may blame climate change. You know, why would I save? I don't have a future. I'll be flooded out or boiled to death. But they might just be using that as an excuse when, in fact, they just don't want to save, which is very common for young people. I didn't have any such plan for a long time in my life. I regret it terribly. We should teach economic literacy like we teach language. Actually, we don't teach language either. So, like we teach secondhand smoke. Maybe that would be a good analogy. So listen to this. This is the article. Lori Rodriguez, a 27-year-old communications professional in New York City, is not saving for retirement. And it isn't necessarily because she can't afford to. It's because she doesn't expect it to matter. Like many people her age, Rodriguez believes climate change will have catastrophic effects on our planet. Some 88% of millennials accept that climate change is happening, and 69% say it will impact them in their lifetimes. Engulfed in a constant barrage of depressing news stories, many young people are skeptical about saving for an uncertain future. Article continues. Millennials are also said to suffer from eco-anxiety. According to a 2018 report from the American Psychological Association, with 72% saying their emotional well-being is affected by the inevitability of climate change. And then there is another one. More on this article. Rodriguez, the 27-year-old quoted in the beginning, says she has grown increasingly wary of capitalism and has become convinced we are witnessing its final stages. She is not alone. The number of millennials who view capitalism positively fell from 68% in 2010 to just 45% in 2017. Now, here's another one. Financial Psychology Institute's Professor Klontz says, while he considers climate change concerns valid, some millennials may be using them as an excuse not to save. Setting aside money for the future rather than using it in the moment is fundamentally difficult for human beings. That's very true. Nevertheless, the other stuff may be true too. Many people are already making major adjustments to traditional life plans to account for future climate change effects. Dan Sheehan, a 28-year-old writer in Los Angeles, says he has chosen not to have children or a family, a decision that has also contributed to his not saving for retirement. Okay, some 30% of people who have chosen not to have children have done so due to climate concerns, according to a 2018 report by the New York Times. Okay, anyway, it goes on like that, right? So, and then finally, most non-saving millennials say financial constraints are the top reason. In other words, climate change may be second to financial restraint. The average student loan debt is $37,172, according to the Wall Street Journal. So I want to address this to you, especially to you millennials. I am angry at this generation of adults for scaring you about this stuff the way they have. I want to read to you. You may say, well, why wouldn't they? It's scary. So just listen to this. One more thing to read to you. I very rarely read to you, but I have no choice in this case. Listen to this. This is from 1989. Associated Press, AP. One of the largest, perhaps, international news gathering service we have. UN predicts disaster if global warming not checked. This is June 1989, 30 years ago. 30 years, almost exactly. A senior UN environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. We've passed 2000 by 19 years. Coastal flooding and crop failures would create an exodus of eco-refugees, threatening political chaos, said Noel Brown, director of the New York office of the UN Environmental Program. He said governments have a 10-year window of opportunity to solve the greenhouse effect before it goes beyond human control. Ocean levels will rise by up to 3 feet, enough to cover the Maldives and other flat island nations, Brown told the Associated Press. So wait a minute. We had 10 years in 1989. It's 1999. It's 20 years ago. But none of this has happened. The oceans have not risen like this. The Maldives are doing fine. I was just there. It's the best snorkeling in the world, by the way, in case you're into snorkeling. Those are islands right off the southwest coast of India. I've been there twice. And they're doing great. So I want you to understand these scary things, these apocalyptic notices have been given for 30, 40 years. But none of them have come to pass. People are buying seashore real estate in the United States. Why? Why isn't everybody who has a home on any shore, Florida, California, or anywhere else, why aren't they selling their property while they could get a great price for their house? They say they believe it, but they don't act on it. By the way, the whole movement is I don't believe is believable. because they're not for nuclear power. You really think the world will be destroyed in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years because of carbon emissions? Then there's a completely non-carbon-based energy source called nuclear power, staggeringly safe. Why don't you advocate it? That proves to me they don't believe what they say. If you were drowning and somebody threw you a life buoy that could save your life, would you say, well, I heard that some of these life buoys have germs? Then we wouldn't believe you thought you were drowning, would we? We have a life buoy if you believe we're drowning. It's called nuclear power. That works. 40% of Sweden is powered by nuclear power. I feel for you if you're a millennial who's been scared by this. I do. And I am so angry at my generation and the generation after me that has raised you. Man, look, they believe it too, I guess. But it's I'm not saying that there is no global warming. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the hysteria is hysteria. That's all. And then the other thing that this generation has done to you, specifically the left of the adults, conservative adults haven't done this, is this disgusting student debt. The average person watching this is $37,000 in debt. For what? For what? To be told that there's no such thing as male and female? To be told that there's white privilege? To be told that you can't wear a Halloween costume if it's not your culture? It's angering. I'm sorry to get angry. I'm angry on your behalf. You've been screwed by my generation, okay? Simple as that. And by the next generation. It is absolutely, it's a farce. The debt you have been put into for no good reason. Harvard has, I don't know, how many, could you take a look quickly? What is the endowment of Harvard University? How many tens of billions, or is it hundreds of billions? I don't know, of dollars. What are they doing with it? What are they doing with all the, how much?
$38 billion.
It's a joke. Now, Harvard's the richest, but they all have, nearly all of them have these gigantic endowments. And you know how many people they hire as deans of diversity who teach nothing, who just teach you how to be angry? And separate black graduations at 75 different colleges in the country, including Harvard and Stanford. Separate black dorms. That's what the white racists in the South wanted in the 50s. Separate dorms. Now the left wants it, and the universities are all on the left. God, have you been? I hate to use the language because it's a little vulgar. You've been screwed. Let me tell you. And history will record that. And not getting married, you're not, 30% of you won't get married because you think the world is going to be destroyed. Anyway, what kind of reason is that not to get married? That's a little goofy to me, I have to say. You don't want a partner while you drown? I mean, give me a break. I mean, this is like, this is pathetic. When I think, I'm a Jew, and when I think of the, I'm old enough to remember Holocaust survivors, people who went through the Nazi death camps and somehow survived. They made families. The first thing they did when they were liberated from hell, real hell, not imaginary hell, was to get married and have children, to affirm life. And you're not? Sick. The whole thing is so sick. This is very angering stuff. Just remember the 1989 report. We have 10 years. That was 1999. What happened since then? Even the polar bears are doing well. That's right. The polar bears are doing well. There's more ice in Antarctica. There may be less ice in the Arctic, but there's more ice in Antarctica. I have lived through so many left-wing hysterias in my lifetime. They're all lies. They all turn out to be lies. I in my book, Think a Second Time, it's one of my books, but not in that, it's not in that one. It's in my book, Still the Best Hope.
I list 11 left-wing hysterias that took over the society, just like global warming is taking over the society now. And by the way, why did they change it to climate change? Why did they change the name from global warming to climate change? Maybe because it wasn't warming in so many places. This is, do you know that this is one of the coldest Mays in the history of Los Angeles, where I live? I looked it up. It's one of the coldest since the 19th century, when they started recording temperatures in Southern California. But that doesn't count, I guess. And now anytime, there was actually a lull in hurricanes, in devastating hurricanes. Did you know that? There was a lull. I knew it. It was reported, but not widely. And every time there's a hurricane now, you know, there's hurricanes, you know, this Sandy, the storm in New Jersey and the Northeast. Oh, climate change. What, we didn't have storms before this? Look, if you want an excuse not to save money, go right ahead. But you're going to be around for many years. They're going to keep delaying the apocalypse. That's they did now. We were told in 89, we got 10 years, nothing happened. That's right. More and more people have been uplifted from poverty thanks to the capitalism that half of you reject. Only thanks to capitalism. Socialism never lifted anybody out of poverty. It has increased poverty. That's all it does because it doesn't create wealth. Only capitalism creates wealth. Did you learn that at your economics class at whatever college you're in or whatever high school you're in? You should have learned that in fifth grade. The only system that has ever lifted people in any number from poverty has been capitalism. Socialism spends the money that capitalism creates. That's the way it works. So you want socialism? Good luck. See how it's worked elsewhere. Watch our video, by the way. You know, people say, oh, we want to be socialist like the Nordic countries. We have a Danish scholar, a guy from Denmark, gives a video, 5 minutes, showing you how Denmark is not a socialist country. You might want to watch it. In fact, whether you want to or not, you should watch it, because never do what you want. It's usually a bad idea. Do what you should do. That's a great idea. Maybe I'll do a video on wants versus shoulds. You'll be a happier person if you do shoulds. Yeah, of course you should do certain things that you want, obviously. But not the big stuff. The big stuff is a bunch of shoulds. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring you the bad news that there's good news. I guess that's bad news that there's good news. All right. Questions to me. Anne, 44, Hillsboro, Oregon. Behind every great man is a great woman, quote unquote. Would you ever consider having your wife as a guest on your show? I would love to have my wife as a guest on my show. And then you would see how true this is. And if you, indeed, this is assuming you assume I'm a great man. I'm not assuming that, but that's why you wrote this. But whatever you think of me positively, it would doubly reinforce this because she is a great woman. However, she does not yearn to do things public. In fact, she yearns not to. Which is too bad because she's very poised and articulate. So I'll try. I'll tell her they want her in Hillsboro, Oregon.
And she says hi.
And she says hi. Yeah, I read her the question, yeah. David, 60-something, Minneapolis. Dennis, how would you define love? It seems undefinable, even though we know it is real when we sense it. By the way, you should know about the questions. I see them 5 minutes before I do this. Only to make sure that there aren't any I don't want to because they're irrelevant or uninteresting or whatever. Or I've dealt with it a lot. So these are not planned answers. They're just, I've only planned to be able to take the question. So what is this? How would I define love? Are you ready? There are two answers to that, feeling and action. You can't define the feeling. What am I going to say? An extremely positive emotional response to someone or something. Because after all, we say, not only do I love my partner, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my children, I love my parents, I love my friends, but I love my dogs, people, right? I love my car, I love my house, and that's perfectly reasonable, by the way. So love is simply an intense feeling, an intensely positive feeling. But more important is its behavior. If you say you love somebody and you don't act loving, you don't love them. It's irrelevant. Let's put it that way. I know if you love me by how you treat me. That's what everybody should say to anybody who says they love them. How do you treat them? I'm writing a 5-volume commentary on the first 5 books of the Bible, where one of those books contains love your neighbor as yourself. And because I know Hebrew grammar very, very well, especially biblical grammar, I will show when that volume comes out. It's in the book of Leviticus, the 3rd of the 5 books. It doesn't say love your neighbor as yourself. It says love to your neighbor as yourself. So it implies in the Hebrew that it's an action. Treat your neighbor as well as you treat yourself, in effect. That's what it means. So I will also maybe I might do. Did I do one of these fireside chats on unconditional love? I know I've mentioned it, but I don't know if I did a whole. Not yet. Right. That I'm not a fan of unconditional love at all. I don't believe unconditional means no matter how you evilly you behave, I still love you. I don't want to separate love from morality. I think it's dangerous. Anything separated from morality is dangerous. Why should love be? But that's another topic for another time. Okay. Wayne, 87. All right. I want every age group to watch. In Michigan. Dennis, I keep hearing a new word, woke. Could you define it for me? So I was thinking about this woke. By the way, it's amazing how new terms become part of the language so rapidly. Woke. 1 year ago, I don't think it was even used. Woke. Woke apparently means that you are in tune with what the left thinks you should be in tune with. I think that's the definition. It's like the definition of politically correct, or I should say politically incorrect. Anything that offends the left, right? There's no political incorrectness with regard to offending the right. That doesn't exist. It's like there are terms for Jew hatred, for Islamic hatred, black hatred, but there's no term for Christian hatred. Isn't that amazing? The only group on earth that has nobody hating them. They're being wiped out in the Middle East, but nobody's hating them. It's really awesome. But the left controls our language. Read Orwell. I mean, it's exactly out of 1984. And so woke is another. So woke means you're hypersensitive to, for example, the transgendered. Then you're woke. So that if you think that transgender females, in other words, male bodies, possessors of male bodies who believe that they are female, that's fine. I'm not arguing with that the existence of such people. But I don't believe they should be able to race in races against high school girls as they do in Connecticut. And then they win all the races and set records, and it counts. That's not fair. They have the advantage of a male body. That's just not fair. But I'm not woke. That's it. I hope, Wayne, that helps. You are speaking to a non-woke person. That's right. Which means I think clearly. That's what non-woke means. Woke means do not think clearly. Next. Ethan, 20, Las Vegas. Hello, Mr. Prager. Or is Mr. Prager your father? Actually, he was my father. May he rest in peace. And you can call me Dennis, but you can call me Mr. Prager too. Kids should call me Mr. Prager, not because I care. I don't care, but because kids should call adults Mr., Ms., Miss, Mrs., or whatever term for an adult. Professor, rabbi, father, pastor, that's what they should do. That's correct. I'm always impressed when parents introduce their little kids to me and they go, Samantha, this is Mr. Prager. That's correct. That is what you do. But at 20, it's your call. I'm totally happy either way. I wouldn't say you have to call me Dennis. I'm not embarrassed about being an adult. A lot of adults from my generation wanted to stay children. There are a lot of Peter Pans walking around. You who are young don't know this, but I did know this when I was young. You don't become an adult based on your birthday. You become an adult based on a decision to become an adult. You have no idea how many children there are my age. They tend to work in Hollywood, but not only there. Robert De Niro is a child. That's it. He has an old body, but he's a child. These people are there are great numbers of them, unfortunately. Anyway, so yes, that's the Mr. Prager part. My father is an optometrist and is trying to write a book on his views of the world and society. Being in the medical field, he's well aware of the government's overreach. As someone who has had massive success with his books, I wanted to know if you had any tips I could pass on to him. P.S. I'm writing this while watching episode 79 about the Sri Lanka attacks. Episode 79. PPS, very good that you know PPS. It's impressive. Postscript. My dad is a fan of you. Actually, it should be a fan of yours, I think. It's okay. And may see this as a belated birthday surprise. Happy birthday, Dad of Ethan in Vegas. Okay, so very quickly, off the top of my head, one thing you should do if you write a book, what he wants to write? He wants to write, does it say an autobiography? Or his book, or views on the world. Okay. You should get an editor. It is amazing to me how many people think that because they know how to make sentences, they can write. Writing is a skill. I have editors, and I've been writing all of my life, and I write well. But I have plenty of editors, and I love being edited. I love it. So if you don't get an editor, it means you're not serious. You're serious about your thoughts, but you're not serious about an excellent book. They're not the same thing. And ideally, if it's a really worthy book, then you can get it published by a real publisher. You have no idea how many books I get in the mail, including books people publish on their own. And I respect them for doing it. But I don't know that it's legit if it has no publisher. If a publisher publishes it, they're putting their money into the belief that this book may appeal to more than family and friends. By the way, you should write a book for family and friends. I'm totally for this. I think it's a beautiful, important thing to write a book and hand it down to the next generation. I salute your father for wanting to do this. But also, everybody has to ask another question. Unless they're writing their autobiography, which I think everybody should. That, by definition, is unique. But if your dad writes about his views on the world, will they add to what has already been written? If he's saying what has already been said many times, not many people, obviously, will gravitate to reading it. I know a guideline in my life has been, I will only write what hasn't been written. Why would I want to duplicate the efforts? You know why Prager University exists? Because nothing like it existed. If there was something like it, I wouldn't have bothered. It takes a lot of time and effort. Why do I want to duplicate what others are doing? If I don't have something unique or a unique way of saying it, why say it? But I hope he writes his autobiography and passes that down. My dad wrote his autobiography. I think you could see it at maxprager.com. And it's actually quite good. It took me years to convince my father to write an autobiography, and he was thrilled. And then he had it beautifully printed in hardback. But in the meantime, it is, I believe, on the web. I think everybody should write an autobiography. That I do believe. What's our timing?
29.
Do I have a built-in clock or what? Should I take one more or what? Julianne, 18, in London. Hi, Dennis. I'm about to finish high school and would like to take a gap year before going to university. Do you have any advice or ideas about what I should do? You should definitely take a year before university. You're going to live a long time, probably. What's the rush? I have said this my whole life. Take a year off at least after high school. By the way, the more mature you are when you go to college, or uni, as you call it in Britain, I know, because I attended a year of university in the University of Leeds. So I tell people, the more mature you are, the more you'll get out of college, and the less likely you are to be indoctrinated by professors. Professors, for the most part, there are always exceptions, indoctrinate rather than educate, especially in talking about the social sciences. I have proof. They go crazy if you record what they say in class. Now, why is that? Why aren't they proud of what they're saying in class? I taught at college in the United States, at Brooklyn College, for a couple of years. Kids then asked me, can we record your classes? And I remember saying, well, why not? If I'm prepared to say this to a class here, I'm prepared for the world to hear it. What do I care? I hope you record it. I'm proud of what I'm saying. They're not. They know they're indoctrinating. I knew I was educating. So I wanted people to get what we call then tapes of what I said. All these teachers who oppose recording, and they ferociously oppose it, all these leftist teachers, which is almost redundant. It's because they know that if other adults can hear what they say, they will show what nonsense was told to kids who believe it. It's easy to fool a 19-year-old. It's tougher to fool a 49-year-old. Okay, on that happy note, I hope you've enjoyed. Otto just started snoring, is that right? Yeah. I really do put him to sleep. It's a humbling thing to have Otto as a dog. But it's good. And I just want to remind you that my way of sharing life's lessons is through my Bible commentary called the Rational Bible. I hope you get it. It's nobody writes Bible commentaries, I often say, to get wealthy. This is my way of sharing the greatest book ever written with as many human beings as possible. Anyway, enjoy. I'll see you next week. And thank you for being with me. And don't forget to send questions. Where do they send them to? Just
PragerU.com.
To PragerU.com. Perfect. Okay. Thanks for being with me. Bye. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.